This shiur has been brought to you from the Sharim Audio Library. For information about Sharim or to order additional CDs, please visit our website, www.sharim.com, or email sharim@sharim.com. Thank you for making Sharim part of your continual learning experience.
Let's go on. We are now in Chapter 2, The Purpose of Creation. Okay? Chapter 2, The Purpose of Creation. Yeah, we did chapter 1. Alright. Hine, Chapter 2, Purpose of Creation. Hine ha-tachlit ba-briyah haya la-ativ mitzuvo yitbarach shmo le-zulato. The purpose of creation, the reason God created the world, is in order to bestow of His good to another. Meaning, in reality, as is spoken about in numerous places, God is not missing anything. God is not missing of anything. And why did He proceed to create the world? He proceeded to create the world because, in a sense, quote unquote, He was missing something. God is not missing anything, but in a relative sense, to try and tap into this aspect, God was missing, so to speak, for whom to bestow His good upon. So therefore He created us. So the whole purpose, the sole purpose of creation is for us to enjoy from His pleasure. Who knows what the first thing human beings were commanded to do?
Multiply?
Nope. First thing. Huh? What's the
prover?
Nope.
First thing?
Human.
Don't
nope.
First
thing. Thank you. Very good. Tell get it out loud. What's the first thing we commanded? Eat. And then don't eat. God wants us to enjoy. And then He says, okay, but don't take from that because it's going to give you a stomach ache, right? Or lose your portion in the world to come, whichever one, you know, might make you stop doing it. So, point being that the first commandment that human beings received was to eat from the tree of all the trees in the garden, and don't eat from that tree, but first eat. So the purpose of creation was for us to enjoy. And everything has, so many things in this world have that theme. For us to enjoy from creation. Okay? It should make us feel so happy and so lucky that the Almighty wants us to enjoy. We're like pleasure beings. That's what we were created for. The only catch is the Almighty is going to tell us how to attain that level of pleasure. But if anybody thinks about Judaism as being one of those religions that takes away pleasure, the contrary is true. Judaism tells you how to enjoy. And your whole purpose of this world is for pleasure. And there will come a time where you will have the ultimate pleasure. But the nice thing is that even in this world, we have pleasure. Okay? Because that's what God wants. Just like a father wants his children to enjoy, so too the Almighty wants his children, the human race, to enjoy as well. Vine tire. Any questions?
No?
Vine tire. Maybe, see the Chumash. The first thing that God commanded was, you know, and then lo tochal. First eat and then don't eat. So the first thing we commanded was to eat, to enjoy. That's what we were created. Okay? So many things in Judaism have that theme. I mean, endlessly. So many things, right? Vine tire kihut, and if a, just as within, you know, quotations, if a person finds that his service of the Almighty is not on that path, then we should rethink it. Because the purpose of creation is enjoyment. So God wants us to look at this world also as a source of enjoyment. Just to learn how to enjoy from this world, to use it properly. Vine tire. Ki hu levado yitbarach shemo ha-shlemut ha-amiti. Ha-meshulal mikol ha-chisronot. The Almighty is the true level of perfection that is void of anything that is missing. He has no flaws. Ve-en shlemut acher kamo klal. And there is no other level of perfection like Him. Not only that, but we can't even understand the level of perfection that the Almighty has. That's why when it comes to God issues, we can't really understand the depths of them. We know that He exists, we know that He rules the world, but we can't understand His actual being. We can't fathom what it means to be totally perfectionist, totally perfect. V'nimtza shekol shlemut sheyidume chutz mishlemutoy bar shemo hineinenu shlemut amiti. Anything that is perfect is not truly perfect, right? Ela yikare shlemut be'erech elinyan chatzar mimenu. It is called perfection in relation to something like it. For example, if you make a perfect sandwich. Now, is that really the perfect sandwich? Is it? It's not a perfect sandwich. Can't take my sandwich. Yeah, then you'll know that your sandwich is a perfect. Right? But everything is in relation to something else. Something is like the perfect picture. The perfect anything is all in relation to something else. You get the perfect computer. 3 weeks later, when the newer computer comes out with half a gigabyte higher, your computer is trash. Right? So it's all in relation to where you're coming from. But in regards to Almighty, it's not in relation to anything. His perfection is true perfection. He is the absolute perfection. Since the desire of the Almighty is to bestow good upon us, it is not enough for God to give us a little bit of pleasure. He has to give us a lot of bit of pleasure. Okay, because again, God's level of perfection, just let's think for a moment here. God's level of perfection is beyond that realm that we can understand. And this being wants to give good to us. How lucky are we that He wants to give us good and not bad, Chas v'Shalom. How lucky are we that God's purpose is to bestow good upon us and not suffering upon us? Can you imagine if His purpose was to create beings that would suffer? But instead, this ultimate perfect being wants to bestow good upon us. He wants us to attain good, but not just pleasure, but in the highest level. Since He is the ultimate good, לא יסתפק חפצו הטוב אלא ביתו מהנה לזולתו בטוב ההוא עצמו שהוא יתברך שמו מצד עצמו שהוא הטוב השלם ואמיתי. Since God is the ultimate good, it's not enough that God bestows good in a halfway, so to speak, but He has to do it up to the highest level. So the Ramchal is going to tell us, what is that highest level of good that God wants to bestow upon us? What is that ultimate level of good? Like we said, it's not enough just to bestow good, but it has to be a perfect good. God is a perfectionist. He wants to have a perfect good. What is that perfect good? V'hineh, מצד אחר, הטוב הזה אי אפשר שימצא אלא בו. This good that exists can only be connected to Him. Why can this perfect good only be connected to Him? Who can answer me that question? Why can't there be a perfect good from somewhere else?
Because I don't think there are other gods.
Okay, but okay, very good. But let's talk in the realm of like the essence. Like let's say nobody's going to make any mistakes. Why is it that the true good can only be coming from Him? Like why an essence can only come from Him? Very good, exactly. As the Ramchal stated, everything else is relative. So anything that we would receive good from a different source could never be the true good. Because true good can only come from the true good of the true source of good, which is the Almighty. So again, God's purpose is unbelievable. What a chesed it is that God chooses to bestow good upon us. Can you imagine? We're like, you know, if it was a 50-50 coin flip. Okay, let's see. I'm going to create these beings. Heads, good. Bad, suffering. Heads. God's purpose of creating the human race is to bestow good. Now, He's
suffering here is not.
Now this ultimate good can only come from God, as you had pointed out, because He is the only form of true perfection. Everything else is relative. Nothing else is perfect like Him. Okay. על כן גזרה חוכמתו שמציאות ההטבה האמיתית הזאת יהיה במה שייתן מקום לברואים לשדבקו בו יתברך שמו. Therefore, and this is a little bit of a deep concept that I want to just, you know, go through together, the Almighty has ordained that the goodness is pending on clinging to him. According to this, the measure that's capable of partaking in it, meaning the following. It's a step process. Since God is the ultimate good, and since everything else is relative, and everything else is secondary in a sense, the true good has to be clinging to him. Why does the true good have to be clinging to him? I want to ask you that question. Why is it that the only true good that could exist in this world is by us being one with God? Why can't there be other good God? Why can't God give us a chocolate cake? That could be true good. Why is the true good only as much as you cling to him? Why is that the true good? My connection to him is the only source of true good. When someone gives good to someone else, let's say for example, you give someone an object of good. You don't come along with that object. You take from yourself something and remove it from yourself and give it to the other person. You might lend somebody money. You might give them an object to borrow. You might do them, you know, you're not giving you yourself. But since God is the ultimate good, the only way to attain the highest level of good is by us being connected to him. Because when he gives, if he were to give something else, that's already removed from God, so to speak. So God gives from himself. So the highest level of good that you can attain is by being one with the Almighty, and it has to be that way. So our goal in this world is to emulate him, and by emulating him, our program, we can then fit like a hand in a glove, so to speak, with the Almighty. The more we emulate God, the more we can become one, the more we can join that essence of enjoying from the ultimate good, which is him. The less we emulate him, the further we get to him, the less we're compatible with the Almighty. So it's a give and take. This goodness has to come from him. Because when he gives good, it comes from him himself, so to speak. As opposed to our giving, when you give something, it's removed from the person. It's not the person himself. Okay? That's what he says here. Al-ken gaza chachma. I'll read it in English. Therefore, even though created things cannot emulate God's perfection in their own right, the fact that they can be attached to him allows them to partake of it. But you have to be attached to him, since they can be considered part of God's perfection as a result of their association with him. So the more that we emulate him, the more we can be attached to him, and that is, in a nutshell, the whole concept of the mitzvot. That's all the commandments, the do's and don'ts. The do's tell you have to be one with God. The don'ts tell you don't do things that are going to distance you. You know why you got to keep kosher? Because then your being will be attached to him. You got to keep Shabbat. So your being will be, you have to do mitzvot and put on tefillin and say brachot and light candles and dress modestly and all these things so that your being can be compatible with God's oneness. By you doing things that are not appropriate, by not eating kosher, by not doing things that are appropriate, you're making yourself separate from God. You're not emulating him. You can't become one with him. It's just not compatible. And then what ends up happening is God still wants it to be compatible. So there's the whole process in the afterlife of getting punished and cleansing off the sins and all that stuff. All that is to scrub away the parts of us that are not compatible. Right? That's why we have to go through a punishment stage to scrub off the little black spots that are not compatible so that we can become compatible. Okay, let's go on. V'nimtza, let's turn the page. V'nimtza hiyot kavanato yidbarach shemo v'amriya shebara livro mi shiye nena b'tuvo yidbarach shemo v'oto aderech shefshar shenebo. So the purpose of God creating everything in this world is to create a being that can enjoy from his goodness. And that, what we have to do and what we have to figure out, and that's really the task in this world, is to figure out how everything serves that purpose. Where does evil fit in? How does evil fit into the whole task of, you know, creating a being that can enjoy? Or all these things, you know, where do tests fit in? Where exile and all the mitzvot, and how does it pertain to me? And to what level do I have to go with it in order to attain from this oneness? But we're lucky because why are we lucky? We're lucky because we have a book. We have a book that tells us, it's a recipe book that tells us how to pull it out, how to attain this level of oneness. Torah. Now, taking it a step further, we know that God wants to bestow upon us this ultimate good, but that's not enough, says the Ramchal. Ulam, however, Gazra Chochmato, his ultimate wisdom has ordained, Shiliyot Hatov Shalem, that in order for the pleasure, the goodness, to be perfect, Ra'ui Shiyah Ne'enebo Bal Hatov Hahu. In order to enjoy from that goodness, the person who receives it has to be the Baal HaBayit. He's got to be the owner of it. Pirush, mi shiknei hatov ba'atzmo. He has to attain it. V'lo mi shiklaveh lo hatov ba'derech mikra. This is a very fundamental point in Jewish philosophy, is that in order for it to be the ultimate good, it's not enough just to receive it, but we need to be the owners of it. We need to have attained it. Why is that so? V'tereh shezeh nikra k'tav yidamut. There's two things. The Ramchal here takes a very interesting twist. If you study the Mesirat Yesharim and you study the line that we just read, there are two different points. The Ramchal says, let's work on it together, okay? Why is it that I have to be the one that created the goodness or have earned it? What does hidamut mean? In order for you to be similar to God, you have to be the owner of that good. The Almighty is perfect, not by chance. Just like the Almighty is perfect and He is not missing anything, right? So the Almighty wants to create a being that to some extent has that level. Ve'ulam, ze ei efshar shimatzeh bezulato. It's impossible for them to be a total different being other than Him. Shiyah mitzato mukhachat lo haslamat umadarat min hachisronot. Ach lidamot lezeh bemikzat, tzarich shelefachot yehu hakoneh haslamut she'en amitat inyano mukhiach lo. Ve'yehu ma'adir ma'atzmo hachisronot she'ayu efsharim bo. So, what Ramchal is saying is the following, that in order for us to be similar to God, we have to be the ones that own that goodness. How do we own that goodness? By creating it. By earning it. By you owning that, that's one reason that God made it, that we have to work. Now, this is different than what he says in Mesirat Yesharim. In Mesirat Yesharim he says that the reason that we have to work in this world is so that we're not embarrassed when we receive the reward. So those, and the Ramchal is going to continue with that aspect as well. There are two reasons why we have to work in this world. Why our task is for us to work in this world and attain the good on its own. One is so that we're similar to God. Just as God is the owner of everything that happens, so too God wants us to be the owners of what's going to happen to us in the world to come. He wants it to come through our work. The second thing is so that we're not embarrassed. I'll tell you what I mean in a moment. Imagine every day a person comes up to you and gives you $100. So at first point, some of you are saying, great, finally I can finish off my credit card bill. Right? So that's really nice and dandy for the first week or two or three. But after a point, you're going to be embarrassed from this person. Are you not? You're not going to be able to look at them in the eye because they're just giving you and you're taking without giving them anything and you're not giving them anything. So you're going to feel embarrassed. And the Zohar calls it Nahama de Kisufa. The Zohar calls it bread of embarrassment. Bread of embarrassment. Meaning the Almighty didn't want us to be embarrassed from the reward that He would give us in the world to come. So if He would just give it to us in the world to come, just give and give and give and give, then we would be embarrassed. We would say, listen, I didn't do anything for this. Like, what do you want from me? Imagine, you know, we would throw a huge party for you just because you're you. You walk into the room, you know, the Sheraton Plaza, a huge hall with everybody's dressed all fancy, and they just clap their hands and sit you at the front. You'd be like, what are you guys doing? I didn't do anything to deserve this. You feel uncomfortable even. We do it once, twice, three times. So the Zohar says, when we work for something, then we're not embarrassed anymore. You're not embarrassed to receive your paycheck, are you? Are you? You're not embarrassed. Why? Because you earned it. But you are embarrassed to receive a donation from someone. Is that not true? Why? Because I didn't work for it. Like, he's going out of his way and I didn't do anything for it. So therefore, there's two reasons why we have to work in this world and to attain the level of being one with God. One is to emulate Him, and the second is so that we're not embarrassed in the world to come. Meaning, the way you fulfill them has ramifications on the level of what it is. I'll give you an example. A person who might grow up religious and prays gets credit for praying, obviously, but not as much credit as a person who at age 21, 22, all of a sudden was plopped into their lap the concept that you have to pray. What do you mean? I have to stand with a book in front of a wall and ask God for stuff? I don't see no God. Or keeping kosher. A person who grows up in a religious community and keeps kosher, obviously it's a good thing and they get credit for it. But you cannot compare it to a person who did not and their society. So it depends very much on the circumstances and your perception as to how much credit you're going to get in the world to come. Right? You know that very much. If for your anniversary, your husband on his way from work stops off by a 7-Eleven and buys you a chocolate so that, he doesn't come home empty-handed, you'd be like, thanks for the chocolate, I appreciate it, Take the wrap, I don't need it. But if on the other hand, you plans it, even if he buys you the same chocolate, and he really makes an issue out of it because it's important to you, then it turns into meaningful and you'll save that wrapper in the box with all your other stuff that you get all emotional about. The first flower he gave you and all that other stuff. So it very much depends on what your perception is of the mitzvot. And, that's the whole topic we're going to talk. Let's go on. Now, page 38 in the gray book. Va'alken. Okay, very important. Va'alken. Gazar v'sider shibar'u inyanei shlemut v'inyanei chisaron. Therefore, since God wants us to be the owners of this good and the owners of the reward, and He wants us to emulate Him, therefore He created the whole concept of things that are perfect and things that are missing. He created a world of light and a world of darkness. Why? There will be created a being, otherwise known as man, that has the capability of 50-50 chance of attaining evil and good, so that you can perform and you can attain your level of perfection in this world. And that being will be given the capability of attaining the perfection, and it has a way of attaining perfection, and it has a way of pushing away things that are not perfect. Now, once you have this being that has the capability of pushing away evil and accepting upon itself good, this being is now similar to the Almighty. Meaning, when you are able to walk into the supermarket aisle and you could reach your hand to the left and buy something that's not kosher, and reach your hand to the right and buy something that's kosher, and you chose to buy the kosher food, you are now the owner of that reward. You have chosen it. It's become part of you. And now you are emulating God, and now you're a step closer to being one with the Almighty, and in the world to come, to enjoy from His actual presence. So God had to set up a system in which we have choice, and that's the whole concept of free choice. That's why the stronger you get, the stronger the evil inclination gets. You think you conquer something, up comes another one. Right? You're like, okay, I'm just going to finish with this test of whatever I'm working on. It's finished. That's it. And that's it. I'm going to go to the beach with my newspaper and lemonade, and so until 120, it's just going to be easy street. Just chilling like a villain on the beach. Nothing left for me to do because I'm perfect. Comes in another test, an old friend. I haven't heard from you in years. What are you doing in my life now? Well, because now you're able to handle that. Because the purpose is for you to keep conquering and keep growing. So if a person sees that challenges and tests are coming his way, it's a sign that you're getting closer to perfection, not further away. Unless you're doing something maliciously wrong. The person's walking into a putting himself specifically into a not good situation, don't say, God, why is this happening to me? Yeah. So that the truth is, in the Ramchal, if you pay attention to the nuances of his language, we're not going to actually be like God. It's the closest way of us being like God. Meaning, just as God is in control of His fate, and God is in control of everything that happens with Him, so too God places the keys of the car in our hands, and that's how we emulate Him, by being in control of our fate. Giving us the capability of being in control of our fate is how we're actually able to emulate Him. So you're right, He's never had to choose between good and evil, but He's able to be in control of His fate, so too He puts that decision making process in our hands, and now we're similar to Him in that respect. Okay? Right? So that's the whole significance of darkness and light, and gives us the capability of emulating Him. ואומנם, מלבד היות הבריאה הזאת שקנתה שלמות, ראויה לדבק בבוראה יתברך שמו מצד התדמותה לו, הנה על ידי כנותו השלמות לה, נמצאת מדבקת והולכת בו עד שסוף כנותה השלמות והיא מצאה מדבקת בו יהיה הכל עניין אחד. Now, not only are we given the capability of clinging to the Almighty and choosing our faith, but we also have the capability of bringing perfection in everything that comes our way. So this is a very big difference between Jewish philosophy and other forms of philosophy, is that by us using the materialistic world, we have a way of bringing it also into the oneness of God. Meaning, by you using materialistic aspects like clothes and food and a house and a car for the service of the Almighty, you now have brought it under the umbrella of perfection. As opposed to other religions that preach that anything that has to do with this world is automatically connected to sin. Right? So even someone in Judaism who abstains from materialistic aspects afterwards, like a Nazir, he abstains from drinking wine, he abstains from certain things. Afterwards, he has to bring a sacrifice, because in a sense, he sins. Because you didn't use materialistic things in this world for their purpose. Right? So that is, you know, that's the significance of what the Ramchal is saying. Not only do we have the capability of improving ourselves, but we also draw the entire world into a level of perfection. Any questions? Zohar says the following. It's important to know this topic. How is it that it grapples with the concept of how could there be any existence of anything in this world if God is everything and everywhere? So Zohar at length goes through understanding how there could be existence of anything in this world. The Zohar says basically what the Almighty did was, in a sense, He made room within Himself for the world, because there can't be anything other than Him. So we are an extension of Him. So when we do good and we emulate Him, in the world to come, we're going to go to that, back into that place. That's what the Zohar says. What is the soul of the person? Right? Man de nafach, medile nafach. The Zohar says, he who blows out, blows from himself. You blow a balloon, where does the air come from? Your innermost you. That's the soul of the human being. Our soul, it comes from God. It's the innermost part of God is the soul. Is that it's connected to that. It's very hard to understand these concepts. But for what it, on our level, we have to understand that when we become one, we become part of the Almighty. The more we keep Torah and Mitzvot, the more we perfect ourselves and make ourselves worthy of becoming one with the Almighty. All right, very good. Let's go on to now section 4 on page 40. V'hinei. לשיהיו במציאות העניינים השונים האלה, in order that in creation there should be these different aspects של שלמות וחיסרון שזכרנו, that there should be something that could be perfected and something that's missing, ותימצא הבריאה שזכרנו בתכונה שהיא צריכה להיות, and in order for the creation to be on the level that it needs to be, פירוש, באפשרות לשני העניינים ומיכולת עליהם, in order for the world to be able to attain good and evil, שתקנה השלמות ותהדר מן החיסרונות, in order for us to attain good and evil and to acquire good, ושימצאו להם אמצעים לדבר זה, פירוש לקנות זה השלמות, הנה ודאי שפרטים רבים ושונים צריך שימצאו בבריאה. There's many, many, many aspects of creation that have to be created all for this one theme. that what? There has to be created an entire world. An entire world. Just think about it. The purpose of creation is to bestow good upon us. And now, in order for that to be the ultimate good, we have to be the owners of that good. Therefore, we have to go through a good and a bad process of choosing the good. In order for that to be, we need to have everything that this world has to offer, to its most intricate aspects, down to the most, you know, specific part of nature. Everything has to be there in order for us to choose. Alright, now, furthermore, that's the whole aspect of the Almighty hiding Himself. The biggest destruction, who can answer me this question? Why is the biggest destruction that could be to creation God revealing Himself? Think for a moment. Just think for a moment. Think for a moment. This answers a lot of things in our life. Think. Why is it that the biggest destruction in the world could be when God, if God were to reveal Himself?
Because that's the end of the world.
Why? Very good. Why? Because what's the purpose of creation? To bestow good upon us. In order for us to bestow good, we have to be the owners of that good. In order for us to be the owners of that good, what do we have to have? A choice between door A or door B. If God's right there, so to speak, He is right there, but if we don't see Him in the sense of seeing like we see things, then we could choose. But if we do see Him, we can choose. If we can't choose, there's no purpose of creation. So the biggest tenet of this world is God hiding Himself. The one thing that God, so to speak, doesn't do is reveal Himself in an overt fashion, what we call revealing. Of course you could see God, there's no question about it. But the way we call seeing. Why? Because that would undermine the whole purpose of creation. The purpose is for us to have free will. And if we see Him right there's no free will. There's no reason for us to be here. There's nothing for us to do here. We're not the owners of our good. And then everything that He set up is useless. Alright, so that is the aspect of the purpose of creation. I'll take your questions in a moment. And that is the significance of coming close to God and further away from God. The more we make ourselves like God, the closer we become to Him. The more we make ourselves not like God, the further we become, and then we lose our aspect of creation. And that's the significance of the mitzvot. That's the significance of the commandments. For us to do all these things which seemingly seem like shackles are really ways of making our being into one with the Almighty. That's the whole concept of modesty. That's the whole concept of Shabbat. That's the whole concept of kosher, of brit milah, of pesach. They're all transforming our flesh, our being, so that when the time comes, we can become one with God.